This podcast is a presentation of Gateway Fellowship, Paulsboro, Washington. Experience community, find hope. Check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.
Like I said, you're going to hear a lot from Pastor Jeffrey here over the next number of months, and so appreciate the vision that God's laid on your heart. You've already shared part of it, so amen. Yay. Amen.
And Jen,
Pastor Tom and Jen. We are going to have very clear opportunities to say thank you and bless them. We're going to surprise them with how generous we are. I'm not even kidding. We are so grateful for the legacy and the leadership. And by the way, they're not leaving. He's transitioning to a new assignment. They're going to take a few months away, but I've said to them, I don't see a future at Gateway without you two part of it. And we're excited about that. That's our heart. I know we both share that. And so I want to greet my wife, sweetheart. I love you. And she'll be here pretty soon. I say that only because I wish she was here today, and so does she. But as Pastor Tom alluded to, the weather in Dallas did not cooperate. She was at the airport, and then delays turned into cancellations. And so, but love you, sweetheart. And if you even like me a little bit, she's way better. And so I outkick my coverage big time. I mean that seriously. So great to have my parents be a part of that. Thank you for that. And I got to be in traditions. I want to shout out to my friends. And aren't you grateful for legacies of faith and generosity and prayer and just a spiritual anointing and covering? So Pastor Dave and the team in there, we greet you. If you're watching online, thanks for jumping online with us today. And there's so many things that I want to share. I do have to teach. And so I want to honor the teaching of the word today. And I know that I don't have to share everything in one 30-minute window. But just know this, we have been praying for this community long before we ever knew God would bring us back. I won't cry every message, I promise. But I also am not afraid to know that there's emotion connected to what God's doing. And we have absolutely no question, the future of Gateway is brighter than the past because Jesus is Lord. And it's an honor and a compliment to the existing leadership. It's never shade. You can celebrate the past and run full speed into the future. And that's what we're going to do. Pastor Tom and I spent about an hour this week with the founding pastors, Pastor Al and Erica Munger. And they are on like my hero list. And that's a short list, but they're on that. And they talked about their love for the community and Jesus and people. And so I'm so excited about what God will do. And that is only a compliment to what he has done. I wrote in my notes as I was praying for this moment. And you'll hear me say this multiple times. I'll be drinking from wells that I didn't dig. And eating fruit from trees I didn't plant. And that's the leadership and the legacy. And my job is to steward that. Joanne and I's job on our team, to steward that into the future. And so I invite you even now to pray for us. I know you're not voting on us today. And I told them, if it doesn't work out, I can drive a truck. I'm fine with that. I'll serve in the church. It'll go good. I'll be the highest capacity volunteer ever. But I also have no question God's calling us to this place and for this season. So, well, I do want to jump into the teaching today. Pastor Tom said months and months ago, while we were talking and processing and strategizing with the teaching team, that out of Easter, we wanted to do a series called Stories of Hope. And how many know that's the whole Bible? The whole Bible you can't read the Bible without seeing hope infused into almost every element of it. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, it's this interwoven story of God's loving pursuit of his creation, and then our response, and our response isn't always awesome, but he always meets us with grace and truth. That's what Jesus came full of, grace and truth. So today we're going to talk about, in fact, the next 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about a story that's interwoven. It's two stories in one of two desperate people. And the first one you're going to hear about is a woman who'd had a sickness, an issue. She'd been bleeding for 12 years. And the second of the story is a 12-year-old girl, and it's the daughter of a guy named Jairus, a synagogue leader, a ruler. Now, here's the thing. We see their story because their physical needs, but I want to propose to you that because of sin and the ripple effects of it, every one of us in every chair and every smartphone or laptop that you're watching this on, you're also desperate. You may not know it. And the tension is, do we live with a sense of expectation and anticipation of God meeting us in every moment? Now, the hope just radiates through these texts. And we're gonna pick it up today in chapter 8 of Luke in verse 40. And here's what it says. Now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. That could be a whole message right there. It will be at some point. What are you expecting? Are you anticipating? The crowd was anticipating his return. At this point, his reputation was beginning to precede him into communities. And then verse 41. Now, a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at his feet, pleading with him to come to his house. Why? Because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. Desperate. Maybe you find yourself today and you remember feeling desperate, or you find yourself in this moment feeling a sense of desperation. Come on, parents, how many of you moms, your kid's sick, you'll do anything you can to try to help fix it? If you could trade places with them, you would. Joanne and I have two sons. Josiah and his wife Maria were here last week, but Justice is our oldest son. Josiah is our youngest. When Justice was younger, and I'll tell more about this at some point, he had a disease called Kawasaki's disease, and it impacted his heart. So we're at Children's Hospital, and I remember getting into the elevator at Children's Hospital feeling desperate. And then I ran across some families in the lobby that their desperation was much greater than ours. Now, the value is not comparing desperation. It's recognizing all of us are in need of a touch from God. Sometimes it's just more obvious. So this is that moment where Jesus acknowledges Jairus. By the way, he's so desperate, he falls at his feet. That's not what a synagogue ruler would normally do. That's not distinguished and proper and put together. That's desperate. But you know, if you've ever been desperate, you don't care. If you've ever been so broken, you're like, I don't care what anyone thinks. I just need a touch from God. Well, Jesus hears him and says, okay, and they're on the way to the house. Hope is on the way to the house, and that's where we get to verse 42. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. A woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. So you get the picture. Jesus is with his team. There's a ton of people around, and Jairus falls at his feet. My daughter's sick. He's like, well, let's go to that. So they're on their way to the house, masses of people around him. And what happens? Through the crowd, this woman weaves her way through the bodies. She came up behind him and she touched the edge of his cloak. And immediately her bleeding stopped. Now, if you're Jairus, you're not fired up about this. How many of you have a hard time waiting at stoplights? Right? I'm like, ha. He has hope. Now, I don't know if this was the first time he'd had hope in a while, but he has hope that maybe he's not going to lose his daughter. And all of a sudden, the procession, someone pulled the e-brake. He's like, okay, that's... And Jesus begins to... He stops. Jairus is like, this is pressing. We got to go. My daughter is dying. It's interesting, our timing and God's timing don't always line up. Come on, Show of hands, how many of you have ever had a moment where you're like, I was waiting for God, and he's like, keep waiting. But he's still good. His timing's different than our timing. Now, here's the tension. Sometimes desperation makes friendship with hopelessness. And we start to lose hope, and this is where some of you might even be today. You started out desperate, discouraged, overwhelmed, and it's progressed to hopelessness. I don't know where Jairus was at. I just know this. When you become hopeless, life takes on a darkness that's almost unimaginable. And I want you to know, in the midst, even if you're here today and you feel that cloud over your life, there is a ray of hope, and his name is Jesus, that can penetrate that cloud and break through the darkness. This woman had been suffering. A little bit about her. In the Jewish customs, she was ceremonially, try to say that fast three times, she was ceremonially unclean. What does that mean? It means she couldn't go to worship. It means that anyone who touched her would become unclean. It would change all of her relationships. It would change all of her access. Like in a modern day sense, she couldn't go to the grocery store. She's unclean. So it changed the trajectory of her life. How many of you remember when COVID just broke out and like you didn't have it, but you tested positive, like you had it, but you didn't have all of the grossness of it. Like you tested positive, but you didn't have any symptoms and you got a 2-week vacation. This is awesome. Binging Netflix. Some of you invented foods, right? You're like, what do we have in the fridge? Let's do this. I made a lot of banana bread. I got that from my mom. Hers is better than mine, but I'm like, I'm going to do this. There's a ton of sugar and butter in there, I discovered. It's probably what makes it good. But the thing is, the first like 2 days of the COVID restrictions, I'm like, this is awesome. 10 days in, I'm like, this isn't awesome. Imagine 12 years of separation and loneliness and isolation. This woman's desperate. And she wants to connect. She wants to. And I don't know if for her, this is her last ditch effort. All we know is this. She did something illegal to access the miraculous. And she touches the edge, the hem of his garment. Now, I wrote in my notes here, sometimes we need outside help to experience an inward transformation. This is, by the way, as Pastor Mario alluded to, this is why we need gatherings like this. We need places that are outside of our car and our office and our home. We need community of believers, men and women, wrestling with their faith, trying to figure out who is Jesus, how do I follow him? Some of you have been doing it for decades, but people on different stages of their spiritual journey. And you know what else we need? We need groups. In the book of Acts, we say they met together every day in the temple courts and from house to house. So here's, I think, the two pedals that move the mission of Gateway forward are gatherings, big and small, and groups. Because in here, there'll be questions you have. You can't ask them. If you do, it's awkward. I'm like, hey, can you wait? In a group, it's set up to interact. Listen, if you're not in a group or you haven't been in one, you're missing out. And so is everyone else from what you could add to them. Sometimes we need outside help to experience the inward transformation. This woman had spent, other texts share, everything she had, and no doctor could heal her. So at this point, she doesn't have any hope. She works her way through the crowd. Every person she touches is now unclean. They don't know it, but she does. Maybe they know her, but probably not. And she probably thought, I can sneak up and I get like a secret healing. No one will know, but I'll know. And sure enough, she touches the edge of his garment, and immediately, boom, she's healed. 12 years, and in a moment, she's healed. This isn't a teaching on healing per se, but sometimes God heals and sometimes he doesn't. When I say doesn't, I mean he'll ultimately in eternity. But we do need to ask and seek and knock. There's these beautiful stories of healing and where God says, I just want you to wait and trust me. There's pain, but there's something produced in that pending period. So Jesus asked this. He said, who touched me? Now, here's what's crazy. You ever been in a group? Like, imagine if you're in the lobby between our two gatherings and you're saying, hey, who touched me? Because you're going to bump into some people, okay? When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master," which, by the way, Peter's never slow to give his opinion. Okay, he's the one in the garden when Jesus got arrested. He's like, shing, and he cuts off a dude's ear. Let's be honest, he was not aiming for his ear. So he's not even a good swordsman, okay? He wasn't like, you know, I'm gonna teach him a lesson. He's got too many ears. But that's the guy that says, "Master, everyone's crying against you." Another text says, "You gotta be kidding me. There's so many people. You think, who touched you?" But Jesus says, "Someone touch me because I know that power has gone out from me." Pause for a second. It's interesting that the woman who touches him is healed, but he's bumped into dozens, if not more, people, and he doesn't stop. So back to this whole expectancy and anticipation. She came with a measure of faith, desperate for God, and in this moment of stepping out in faith, God heals her. There is a part we play in faith. Christianity is not a spectator sport. We lean in, we keep saying yes, we keep trusting that these simple acts of obedience will produce something. And here's a promise, and I wrote this in my notes: when we draw near to God, even when we're desperate and hoping no one else knows we're in need, God knows. And maybe that's where you find yourself today. You walk in and everything looks good. You look nice. "Hey, how are you? Oh, good, how are you?" But you know inside, you're desperate and maybe broken. And God knows, and he meets us here. Now, I want to introduce or remind you of a word called, it's a theological word, it's called sanctification. And sanctification is two things: it's instant and it's progressive. It is immediately we're set apart and our heart is transformed, but it continues to be transformed. Why? We're forgiven of our sins, and yet we still live in a sin-filled world. We still live in a broken, we have lust, pride, arrogance. Now, isn't it true of you that, like it's true of me, I want God to treat other people according to what they've done, but not according to what I've done? Can you get them, God? I felt this on the way here. I'm driving here, and I might have been speeding, who knows, but there was pockets that are a little bit fuzzy, but okay, I was going, you know, is it 5 you're fine, 9 you're mine? Is that what that is? I know we have some officers that are, talk with me later, but I'm speeding, and people are passing me. I'm like, "Lord, I hope they get pulled over." That's a hard issue. That's a problem. We want grace and we want mercy, but I want everyone else to just feel the wrath. You did what? In sanctification, this is a reminder, we instantly have grace and mercy extended to us in Christ. So today, for those of you that are gonna make that decision to follow Jesus, you say, I'm choosing to become a Christian, sanctification, instant, and then you're gonna still have the same friends. And maybe even some of the same addictions or same habits or same patterns, for sure some of the same susceptibilities. And this is where the Holy Spirit begins to refine and transform. And that's the beauty of following Jesus and walking with Jesus. Now, why do I share this? Because this woman, can we just agree? Fully healed. Let's go back to Jesus' word. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. And what? They all denied it. It wasn't me, right? Some of you know the song. Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." And Jesus said, "Someone touched me because power has gone out from me." I love that this story's in here because I can relate more to this. And maybe you will too. She has experienced the miracle of a lifetime, and her first natural next response is to lie. Sanctification, instant, she's healed, and there's still stuff God's doing in her. "Who touched me?" And finally, she realizes she's going to be, you know, the surprise is going to be out. So she, like, sheepishly busts through the crowd again, and she says, it was me. Aren't you glad that the Gospels, the Bible, tells real and raw stories? Not just like, I can't even reach this, because if we couldn't relate to the brokenness and the messiness and the progression and the process, most people wouldn't be a Christian. But thanks be to God, he meets us in our brokenness and he makes something beautiful out of it. If you don't think you're susceptible, that's evidence that you're susceptible. Right? If you don't think you're prideful, I'll give you an example. So I grew up in Vancouver till sixth grade. And my mom and dad both grew up in Paulsbo. And we were at church, though, in Vancouver, Crossroads Community Church. And we had visited some friends, the Wisemans. And Bo, one of the sons, was like 3 or 4 years older than me. So I thought he was super cool. I'm like fourth or fifth grade. And he had firecrackers, okay? And in fourth or fifth grade, if you're a boy, you're like, where do I get firecrackers, okay? Now here's, I'm just kidding, it's all five. But some of you didn't catch that. Traditions, they're all there. I was just kidding, okay? But I had had fireworks before, and I wasn't a good steward of them, as my mom would say. And so when Bo said, hey, can I give Jeffrey some firecrackers? My mom was like, no. He is not mature enough. And I don't even know now. Is it? We could talk later. But so I stole some. And we're walking down the steps. It's like a lower entrance to the church. And I'm in the lobby. And I have this super cool coat. I thought it was cool. And I had stolen the firecrackers and put them in my pocket. I get into the church. It's warm. I take off my coat. I throw it over my arm. And as I throw it over my arm, the firecrackers slide out, fall out, and slide onto the floor in the lobby. I'm like, this is not at Walmart. This is at church. Right? So it's like, it's more intense probably. God's more like angry, right? Your and I susceptibility is because of our human nature, and our human nature is a sin nature. And we would, left to ourselves, be all about ourselves. But sanctification meets us, and here's the most important thing I might say today. We want the outward transformation, God wants the inward. We want the obvious, he wants the most important. So he always works in us, inside out, heart first. And that's what he's doing in this woman. So how do you think he would respond to this woman who just lied? Remember, can I just remind you? Jairus is still waiting. And his daughter's still dying. He's desperate, and now Jesus is having a conversation with a liar. And I think how he responds is really a trumpet blast of hope for all of us. The woman, seeing she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at the feet of Jesus. In the presence of all the people, this is as public of disgrace as she's going to experience, and she's used to it because she's ostracized. She's an outcast. She's unclean. And she's probably thinking, here we go again. She said why she touched him and how she had been instantly healed. And he says to her, listen, Gateway, this response is so critical. And this matters to your coworker and your classmate and your neighbor that thinks they're beyond the grasp of God's grace. And they're not. He says, daughter. He speaks tenderly to her. I don't have a daughter, but I have a granddaughter. I will go to jail if you hurt her. Right? Our love, our compassion, and Jesus speaks so tenderly. He says, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. It's the one thing she hadn't had for 12 years. Peace. Why is this a story of hope? It's not just for her, it's for us. And I hope that like her, every week, not just at church, but as the church, we're like, I'm going to try to bust through the crowd because I just want to touch Jesus. Amen. I just want to be close. I want to experience him. I need the grace and the mercy and the love. I need that sanctification, instant transformation that's progressive. instant because God heals us and forgives us, but we continue to become more like him. I wrote in my notes here, desperation can drive us to seek solutions beyond ourselves. And listen, those can be healthy or unhealthy, godly or ungodly. It's why we need groups. It's why we need a wingman. It's why we need a best friend that loves Jesus. So how does Jesus respond to us today if we are coming to him broken and sinful? Tenderly. He would say to you, every man, son, he responds in a way that we don't deserve. And it's the goodness of God extended to us through Jesus Christ. Listen, it takes courage to approach Jesus in our brokenness. And you need to know this, every week we're gonna do a few things, and it will be what we've already done, but I'm just reiterating, we're gonna present the gospel, we're gonna give people a chance to respond, we're gonna meet with God and worship God, and we're gonna ask, how do I live this out? And the live it out part is not at church, it is as the church. Because a lot of people I know in this community think that they're beyond God's mercy or his grace, and they're actually, they're still eligible. And you're the declaration of that. You're the carrier of that. When is it especially difficult to approach God? When we cause the brokenness. But when we step out in faith, simple acts of faith. Now, this was a bold one. But most following Jesus is not these big moments. It's when the little moments stack up. I'm just going to serve you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to live a life that's marked by joy. So how does Jesus respond to us today? How does he respond to you? Online, traditions, and in this gathering. The same way he responds to this woman. God always responds to our obedience with his blessings. And today, if you find yourself feeling like desperate, by the way, even if you don't feel it, Lord, let us be marked by desperation for you. But some of the desperation we feel is really obvious, and it's actually been something we've been dealing with for a while. And we're gonna pray, we're gonna commit and submit those things to the Lord. But I wanna propose to you that the greatest desperation ever is that our human condition of sin would be addressed, and the only way that makes us eligible for relationship with God. And that's Jesus' finished work on the cross, and that he rose from the dead after paying the price for our sins. This is what makes grace amazing, that Jesus did for us what we can't do for ourselves. That's the gospel. And today, if you want to make that decision to follow Jesus, Pastor Mario already referred to this. This is our next steps card, but this could be called our with card. Why? Because we want to pray with, celebrate with, give together. We want to walk with. We want to answer questions. We want to make it difficult for anybody to go alone. And today maybe is your day to say yes to Jesus. I just want to lead you in a simple prayer. But I also want to pray for those that need the healing today. Because God is still healing. He's still healing. He didn't stop caring. So let's go to him today. Lord, we come before you humbly and yet boldly because you told us we can. And God, right now, in just a simple, quiet moment, I want to invite you, Gateway, across all platforms, to acknowledge your desperation, whatever that might look like. It could be marriage, it could be finances, it could be a health, it could be a soul issue. God, I just acknowledge this. And for those that are wanting to make that decision publicly to follow Jesus, here's what the scripture says. Our sin separates us. It creates a barrier. a chasm that we can't cross. But the love of God extended to us in Jesus builds a bridge back. And if you're here, the scripture says, confess your sins, and he is faithful to cleanse you and forgive you, and he'll give you a fresh start. And today, if you want to make that decision, by the way, you don't have to do it here. You can do it Tuesday in the shower. You can do it at your lunch break on Wednesday. It's just this moment of acknowledging and recognizing your need for a Savior. But there is something about going with people and walking with people. That's why we invite a public response. And I say public by just telling somebody in the lobby, marking our card, because we want to walk with and pray with. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer, and we'll pray for the desperate for healing. But first, for salvation, if you would like to surrender your life to Christ today, you can pray something like this. Jesus, my sins, I surrender myself to you. I accept the gift of your death and your resurrection. Thank you for taking my place. Today, I recognize I need what only you can offer. A fresh start, a new beginning from the inside out. Today, I choose to follow you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Listen, if you made that decision, we want to walk with you. But I do want to pray for this one last group. You'd say, I need a healing. And maybe for you, the healing is not an obvious outward, but there's just, you want to have a desperation for God in a way that you haven't for a while. Lord, we just come before you for both of those groups, those that need a physical healing. We know that you're able to reach into the brokenness of all of our lives and restore and rebuild. God, you can take things that don't function and make them function. You are the designer and the creator. And so we pray that your healing power would be at work in this gathering. Lord, across everyone that watches this, Lord, God, you're not limited by space or time, but we submit ourselves to you now. Come on, if you need a healing, just say, God, I give this to you again. Maybe you stop praying about it, but today say, God, I need healing. I thank you that you're able. And Lord, I pray that you would stir in us, stir in me. God, in the entirety of our Gateway Fellowship, a hunger and a thirst for you, a desperation for the things of you. And God, as we respond by singing, you truly are our living hope. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand if you're able across the gatherings as the team leads us?
Create the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living. that seal the promise. Your buried body began to breathe out of the silence.